Well, just going back over this past week, from the way that financial markets have reacted, you wouldn't have guessed that you had two major central banks still lifting interest rates very aggressively. And amongst those, of course, was the US Fed, where they lifted their funds rate by another 75 basis points to 4% now, and still giving an indication they haven't finished yet. They've given some hints that they might be able to go slower at some point in the future, but they're still determined to get on top of the inflation problem, whatever that costs. And increasingly that cost is the US going into recession. And it was a similar sort of story from the Bank of England, which has been blindsided by very, very high inflation. And they had to lift by 75 basis points, so much closer to recession. And they've now got the base rate up to 3%. We also, of course, had our own RBA, where they lifted, but they're down to doing only 25 basis points a time. But the talk from the RBA is that we still got to keep lifting interest rates. So even though we're doing 25 basis points a time, we're still not able to put some sort of top on that. And also with the RBA, we had their monetary policy statement, which made some interesting reading at the end of the week. But just going back to the US and some of the other things that were happening over there, we got some data which suggests that the US economy is getting closer to a tipping point. So, and that tipping point obviously is towards weaker growth. And we had things like, for example, the October Chicago Purchasing Managers Index came out very early in the week, and that's now languishing in the mid-40s. So it's 45.2 from 45.7. Yeah, anything below 50 is starting to indicate that you've got softer economic conditions ahead. That was repeated in the October ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, which was expected to come down to 49.9, didn't come down quite as low as that, came down to 50.2 from 50.9, so it's only just above that 50 mark. Still not there in the services sector, and so one of the features all the way around the world is that as consumers continue to spend their accumulated savings from the pandemic and with some income support too, that initially they spent most of that on goods. That is shifting towards services, so the services sector is coming along quite powerfully in many economies as we march ahead, which is just confusing the outlook a lot. So we had the October ISM non-manufacturing PMI came out for the US. Yes, it's fading a bit, but it's still in the middle 50s. It was at 56.7, came back to 54.4. And the other part about this is that we still got some strength running through the labour market. Now, the financial markets wanted to try and take the best possible gloss. They're enjoying the rally at the moment. So we're trying to make it look as good as we can for the pivot for the Fed. And so when the non-farm payrolls came out, non-farm payrolls actually lifted more than expected. They're up 261,000. The market was looking for 200,000, but they came down a bit from the upwardly revised number for the month before. So the month before, they were up on revision 315,000. So, coming back to 261,000, yes, we didn't get the forecast right. We had that too low, but, don't worry about that. It's come down a little bit, so that's obviously an idea, some sign of softness. Also, the participation rate in the US lifted a bit, so the unemployment rate went up from 3.5 to 3.7 because at last we're starting to get a few more workers coming in. But average hourly earnings were expected to rise 0.3% month on month. They rose 0.4. Yes, you got a little bit of a pullback to 4.7 from 5, but it's together with some news from China that maybe China's sort of thinking again about whether it should be using lockdowns to contain COVID, just gave the basis for quite a strong rally, a continuing rally running through equity markets. So you've still got this puzzle that you've got a central bank which is saying, yes, we've got interest rates up very aggressively. We think at some point we might be able to pivot on that to somewhat less increases. We know we have to risk a recession, and a recession is increasingly the greater likelihood coming out of the US. But at this stage, we've got a strong bear market rally running through things like US equity markets, which give the lie to that and sort of suggest that they want to believe that it's going to be a soft landing. It's going to be generated. And certainly analysts' expectations for earnings in the US are not based on recession next year. They're based on a very strong economy next year still. They haven't adjusted at all. And so this is where we've got the makings of a lot of volatility to run through financial markets yet as we go over the course of the next few months. This week in the US, we get one challenge coming up almost immediately. And this comes up on Thursday, where we'll get the October CPI reading in the US. Now, over the last few months, the CPI readings have come in on the high side of expectations, everybody's expectations, including those of the Fed. And so for October, the market expectation is CPI will rise by 0.7% in the US. That will bring the annual inflation rate down to 8% year on year from 8.2% going back the year before. That's still only a sort of fairly modest reduction, and the core CPI is expected to be up 0.5%, which will bring the annual rate back to perhaps 6.5 from 6.6. These are still a long way north of the Fed's target, which is 2%, and the Fed's saying publicly now that they're going to have to, wherever interest rates get to, they're going to have to leave them there for quite some time to get on top of this inflation problem. And forecasting inflation has become a problem everywhere in terms of just missing the mark. And inflation is still tending to err on the high side of the expectations when these numbers come out. If they are on the high side, then obviously this will be a little bit of a challenge as we go through the later part of this week. But that's where it is for the time being. Just moving to China. And there, we've had quite a deal of softness running through all the various purchasing managers' indices that came out. These always come out at the end of the month, the very beginning of the month. And we have the official readings, plus also the ones put out by CAICS in this private sector organisation over there, which is often looked at as being not quite as biased as the official readings. And the official ones first for the manufacturing PMI, services sector PMI, both came down into the 40s. They were just above the 50 mark going back the month before, 50.1 for the manufacturing PMI, 50.6 for the services sector PMI. They came down respectively, the manufacturing to 49.2. It was weaker than expected, and it was also weaker than expected for the services sector PMI, 48.7. The CAICS in PMI, it went slightly differently for the manufacturing PMI. It went up from 48.1 to 49.2, but it's still sitting below 50. And the CAICS in services sector PMI went the other way, down to 48.4 from 49.3. Also, right at the end of the week, we have these rumours running that maybe there's going to be a little bit of a change and travel restrictions are going to be eased a bit in China, indicating that China might be on the brink of taking a different approach to containing COVID. We haven't got any confirmation of that, but it was certainly enough to get people excited because, it's one of the key reasons why the Chinese economy is running as weakly as it is. There's several, but one of the key ones is that when they try to deal with Omicron outbreaks, rather than just let it run through the community, they daren't do that because they're scared that their vaccination rates are less than they should be in vulnerable groups, and are also worried that the vaccines they use are not as effective. So they go to lockdowns, and that was implied in the party meetings that we had the week before. There'd be no change in that. So we've got this strange rumour that was running through the late part of last week, which was giving some boost to markets towards the weekend. Wait and see how that develops. But this week we've got a little bit of data coming through. Today we'll get some export and import data. The two parts of the Chinese economy which are getting some traction, partly the international sector is helping a little bit, and also the initiatives which are being forced down to local districts to lift infrastructure spending, so you've been getting it through fixed asset investment spending. But today we'll get the export and import side. We can't really expect this to continue to run for China because, if anything, with slowing growth internationally, you'd expect their exports to come back, and that's exactly what the market expects. They expect that the year-on-year change will come back from 5.7% year-on-year to 4.3%. And on the import side, this has been affected by very low growth in retail spending because of lockdowns largely. And the expectation is that import growth will lift only 0.1% year-on-year after being up 0.3% the month before. Later in the week, this also helps this very weak economic growth in China with their inflation rate relative to what we're seeing elsewhere internationally. So we get their October CPI and PPI, and these just edging back to some degree. So the CPI is expected to be up 2.5% year-on-year, which would be down from 2.8% the month before. And producer prices actually falling below zero. So this is quite different from what you're seeing in most other economies internationally. We're expecting that to come back to minus 1.4% year-on-year from plus 0.9%. So some of these differences in China, but a bit of optimism building around China because of these rumours that were running late last week. Moving to Australia, and we had the RBA decision, and they want to take their time to see just how much interest rates are affecting the economy. And the RBA, there's a few things running here. One is that inflation, although it's continuing to run above their forecasts, is still not quite as high as it is internationally. A second aspect about Australia is the extraordinary high indebtedness of the household sector, which is in a league on its own relative to any other major economy now, where household debt runs at 200% of household disposable income. Other countries barely top 150 for the very, very high ones. So as far as household debt's concerned, we, amongst the advanced economies, we are in a league on our own. And so that's where, and we have still, nearly a half variable rate mortgage market. So it's sort of these factors, tend to suggest that interest rates should work to slow things quicker here. We're not quite seeing it, though. And so we had September retail sales came out, and still unbelievably strong. They were up 0.6% month on month. The year-on-year is 17.9%. Admittedly, if we keep running at 0.6s, that will come down that 17.9 to 7 to 7.5%. Then, but that would still be a very, very high year-on-year by comparison with most other countries. So we still haven't got that pullback running through retail sales at that point. And so the RBA, they did 25 basis points, taking the cash rate up to 2.85. They made it clear that's not the end of it, that they will still need to lift interest rates further, but they're just watching how things run. We also had the RBA's monetary policy statement came out on Friday, and it was interesting in many regards. The first one is that they do expect at some point the household sector to draw in, probably after Christmas, and so much weaker household spending is built into their forecast, much as it is into Treasury forecast now. So they revised down GDP growth, where GDP growth, it doesn't go recessionary, but basically it comes down to 2 and less beyond the middle of 2023, where we languish at 1.5% GDP growth running out through 2023 late and running through 2024. The other big area where they've changed their forecast yet again are their inflation forecasts. And this has been a story over the last 18 months that, you know, every quarter they've had to lift their inflation forecasts. They've been out by a long margin. Well, they've had to lift them again. And so the CPI forecast, which they thought would see a peak of 7.75% by the end of this year, that peak has now been lifted to 8%. But it's also got a long tail on it now. Previously, they're expecting that inflation would work its way down over the 18 months beyond the end of this year to getting back to the top end of their 2 to 3% range. They now don't expect to get back to their 2 to 3% range any time over the forecast period through to December 2024. In fact, their long-dated forecasts are now 3.2% for December 24 for both the headline inflation rate and also the trim mean, which is the underlying inflation rate. Also, it's a very high inflation rate running most of the way through next year, where we'll be running at 6.3% by the middle of next year for the inflation rate, 4.7% on their forecasts. But also in this monetary policy statement, there's five pages which go into chapter and verse of why they've got their inflation forecast wrong and why they think they've got on top of the problem, but they're not certain about it. They think, in fact, it's a weird wording. It suggests that, yeah, they still expect that they may not get their inflation forecast right, but they expect to be less wrong than they've been in the past. And the reason they expect to be less wrong is that they are sort of putting an overlay over just about all their suite of mathematical forecasting tools which they've used in the past to forecast inflation. There's a whole suite of these which they use to forecast inflation, and they've just been out by country mile. And so what they said in these five pages is there's about eight reasons why the models were used in the past and they're not worth the paper they're written on. They've broken down almost irredeemably. We can't rely on them to give us reasonable inflation forecasts. We're still going to use them, but we're going to put an overlay on it where we're going to do a lot more liaison with a lot more people so that we can look at the output of the models and then change them if it's not in line with what we're hearing from what people are telling us. It's all well and good. And they say this should actually mean that we will actually have less errors in our forecast. We still don't expect to be right, but we expect to have less errors. So it's not comforting. It's what this implies is that inflation in this cycle has become very, very difficult to forecast, not just the Reserve Bank. It's most central banks are having exactly the same problem. And as a result of that, it does make it difficult to determine exactly how high interest rates will have to go. It's very much an ad hoc process as you wait for the latest information and decide what you're going to do on the back of it. And this is exactly the position we're in, really, with the Reserve Bank now, that it doesn't know how high it may have to push interest rates here. All it knows is that it'll be watching the data as it comes through. It'll be applying its liaison to its economic forecasts, and it will have to adjust those forecasts again at some point over the course of the next 3, 6, 9 months. Moving into the data that comes through this week, we've got the October NAB business conditions, business confidence forecast coming out. The interesting part about this is it's still running very early because it's still reflecting largely past earnings and the very strong phase for commodity prices, which started to fade in some cases, but we're still getting some very, very strong profit growth from many Australian companies. So the NAB business conditions survey was back in September was incredibly strong. It was plus 25, zeros expansion contraction on this particular survey, you very rarely see anything in the plus 20s. So it was still running very, very strongly in September. Wait and see where it comes in for October. And business confidence, because interest rates have been marching up, and you've got the problems running through the labour market, not quite so strong, but at plus 5. We also get October Westpac consumer sentiment coming out. That is was down 0.9% going back to the month of October. It's actually risen the month before that. It's not running particularly strongly, and is running differently from the way in which people are spending their money. An interesting one to see just where that one comes in. And we also get a speech on Tuesday night to Australian business economists from the RBA deputy governor, she will be talking about the economic outlook. So basically, we may get some more information coming off the back of that. But the way it's looking, we certainly got some optimism running through financial markets at the moment. I still regard these as very much a bear market rally, and the reason for that is central banks are actually telling us now that they don't know quite how high interest rates will have to go, even though they're suggesting that there might be a pivot at some point. What they are telling us is that because inflation appears to be more entrenched than their forecasts are suggesting, interest rates are going to have to stay higher for longer. C, the risk of recession next year is building all the time, and is almost is getting up to 80% for the US and Europe. And D, financial analysts' earnings forecasts are still building in very much a soft landing for economic activity next year. So they've got an awful lot of adjusting to do as the recession hits. So for all of these factors, I'm just very, very wary of the way financial markets are operating at the moment. There's still quite a deal of risk ahead. At the very least, it means a lot of volatility. It still implies that the low points for things like equity markets, for example, still lie ahead of us, and probably the high point for bond yields still lies ahead of us.